Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
There is one issue that has absolutely been rocking the WCCO radio building.
I feel rocked, Jason.
It has been nonstop jibber jabber about Secret Santa today. I didn't know there was so much kind of anti-Secret Santa attitude out there. There's a lot. And it makes me rethink, like, some of the workplace kind of, you know, the team building stuff that kind of go-go types think is fun.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm one of those. I'm a bit of a rah-rah guy.
I am too. Yep.
But Secret Santa, we currently have two Secret Santa efforts.
I think that's the issue.
One was spearheaded by the morning show here. And so that was launched. And then the sales team today launched their effort. And theirs involved the whole building.
And that's an annual thing the last couple of years.
But there are a lot of new people.
Right.
Who maybe didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure the upstairs, the salespeople were like, what's this morning show thing that they weren't even invited to?
Right.
So anyway, we've got a morning show one, which I'm taking part in. Dan, are you? No. Dan is a no.
No.
Laura, are you?
Surprisingly, I am not.
You're out. Okay.
I just have enough of my own
Santa-ing
going on at home. Yes.
I get it. So then, now there's the second one. And this one is like you have to do a gift every day, which seems like a lot. Is that a lot? It doesn't have to be a bought gift. It could be like, here's some homemade cookies.
Right. Something small, little token.
Which you still have to buy ingredients for.
So I did a Secret Santa thing back when Yukis and I were doing the morning show. We thought this would be fun.
Mm-hmm.
A little team building. And so we did it. And then because of schedules, you never would have one day where everyone was there to exchange.
Right.
And so it kept getting screwed up and people's feelings were hurt.
Oh.
And like I didn't get a present, not me, but someone didn't get a thing. And we were like, you know what? We're done. We're done with secrets. We're just trying to spread some joy. Should we, as an afternoon drive show, launch our own? Now, like, let's try to mess with everybody's stuff. Why don't we launch our own Secret Santa?
Dan, would you like to spearhead this since you're kind of the producer of things?
No. No, I would not.
Maybe just with
Secret Santa to me
three of us.
Is the office version of forced family fun.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
I
hate that.
I have two teenagers. Sometimes you have to force some family fun.
Oh, yes, you do.
Sometimes you have to force it.
Well, they're your kids. None of us here belong to anybody else.
Why are you are the person
I'm saying.
Why are you so mad about
adamantly
Secret
against
Santa?
The idea of Secret Santa?
Two Secret Santas is a lot.
It's way too much.
But I feel a little like, I mean, the sales team, I love the sales team.
Mm-hmm.
Without them, I don't get paid. So we appreciate the salespeople. I guess I would rather do a Secret Santa with, like, all of the people who are literally paying me. Like, go give a gift to the endorsement people, to my clients.
You can do that.
I guess I could.
You should show up with a little gift, personalized
so if,
gift.
If we did an afternoon drive Secret Santa, the rules would be different. The rules would be I will draw the names. You have to buy zero gifts. And then we will reveal who your Secret Santa is at the bar. Well, that's it. That's
who's
how I would
playing?
Do it.
The three of us?
Sure. Just were it.
That's pretty boring.
I guess that's boring.
That's okay.
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't know it was so so angst-inducing.
It got a little controversial this year.
Yeah.
I think because of the new morning show.
It's all Vanita's fault.
Yeah.
It's all Vanita's fault.
No.
Because no one wants, Vanita's like the nicest person ever, and you don't want to be like, you know what, Vanita, take your Secret Santa and shove it. We don't want to do it.
I didn't think I CC'd you on that email.
It seems mean. We want Vanita to know that we like her or to think that we like her. One of the two.
No, Secret Santa has Vanita written all over it. This is perfect for Vanita to be arranging.
Yeah.
Boy, but, yeah.
Unpack that statement, huh? Vanita's a nice person.
Yeah.
Would anyone believe it if I sent out a thing that's like, hey, I'm doing a Secret Santa? Chad and I are combining for a Secret Santa. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I do like a White Elephant Christmas. We used to do that as a family.
So did we, yes.
And then that devolved into arguments, too. So we got rid of that. I don't know. It all you know what is paved with good intention.
Exactly.
All right. Thanks, Laura. Mm-hmm. It's 5:14. Why don't we do an abbreviated version of the DeRush Hour news headlines? Let's start with mental health issues impacting American productivity. This story I found on WCCORadio.com. According to Aflac's latest workforces report, 59% of workers in the U.S. are suffering from at least moderate levels of burnout. It's up 7% from last year. That's sort of surprising, isn't it? 80% of employees surveyed agreed that mental health coverage as part of your regular health care is important. Only 61% have that sort of coverage. Of course, it's an insurance company that did this survey, but still, it's a lot of people burned out. We've told you about Rware, a reusable takeout container system started here in Minneapolis for a restaurant. New story in Minneino talking about Rcup. This is pretty brilliant. If you go to a concert, or Dan, like you went to wrestling at an arena, this is a reusable cup system. I think about that, don't you, when you're like, you get a beer or a soda or whatever, and you throw out that cup? This company has raised $3.5 million from investors, 42 different investors. They've been at First Avenue and Target Center. So basically, they build like a cup wash hub, like a giant dishwasher type thing in various cities. And then they provide the cups, the receptacles to collect them. And then instead of a single-use plastic that gets thrown away, the cup gets washed and reused. Rcup estimates that the live event industry in North America uses more than 4 billion single-use disposable cups each year. How about that? It's pretty interesting stuff. Speaking of interesting, a most unusual travel story in today's Star Tribune, our friend John Rynham writing about his trip 4 hours southeast of the Twin Cities, not far from Madison, Wisconsin, to visit the Don Q Hotel. Oh, yeah. Oh, Liz, get it on. It's a sex hotel. 20 fantasy suites, John writes. The Don Q has your kinks covered. Whether you prefer to spoon on the moon, woo in an igloo, or rave in a cave, the Don asks no questions. Check out the medieval room featuring shackles on the bed, or sleep in a hot air balloon gondola in the up, up, and away room. Now, bear in mind, this is Wisconsin. A lot of the rooms have whirlpool tubs. You know, go hot tubbing at the hotel. Oh, gosh. Oh, you know what these tubs were made from? 300-gallon cheese vats. Feels right. So many great lines from John in this story. The decor is rough-hewn with lots of wood, stone, and concrete. The smell of the place is similarly unrefined with a strong note of rental car air freshener.
Who would have guessed the smell of that place would have been unrefined? Amazing.
John and his wife passed Arabian Nights, Paradise Cove, and the Shotgun Suite They chose the Northern Lights Suite, featuring a concrete igloo with a 10-sided mirrored bed inside. Draped atop the igloo is an apparently real polar bear hide. Oh, my gosh. That's the Don Q Hotel. Unbelievable. John didn't go into too much detail, only saying that his stay was most memorable. So we hope for the best for John and Mrs. Reinen at the Don Q. Oh, my goodness. 518. We're going to clean things up around here. Alan Horton, the voice of the Minnesota Timberwolves, joins us to talk about the Wolves' first game without Karl Anthony Towns coming up. Love in store. Christine McVie from Fleetwood Mac dies at the age of 79. In about 10 minutes, we'll talk with a legendary rock DJ and hear stories of Fleetwood Mac. Christine McVie dead at 79. That news breaking this afternoon. 5:23. Timberwolves in action tonight. Karl Anthony Towns out for a couple of weeks with an injury that wasn't as bad as it could have been. But now we'll embark on an interesting experiment for the Timberwolves, not one that anybody wants to see happen. Alan Horton is the voice of the Wolves here on WCCO Radio, getting ready for tonight's game at Target Center, and pops in to chat with us. Hi, Alan.
Hello, Jason. How are you?
I am well. Karl Anthony Towns out for a couple of weeks. I mean, most Wolves fans are asking the tough question of what if they're better without him?
Mm-hmm.
And what if they are?
It's a possibility. It is. And it's nothing wrong in saying that. There's something. I was just talking to Chris Finch about this as we chatted before for our pregame show tonight, is that, you know, you do have some kind of, you know, you know what your future is now for the next, I think, more than a couple of weeks, you know, probably a month plus. You know you're going to be without him. And now you try to, okay, well, that's one less piece you have to put into the puzzle. You don't have that available. You're going to get Jaden McDaniels either back tonight or Saturday. You're going to get Jordan McLaughlin back, not tonight, but Saturday. So really the only guys out are Towns and Taurean Prince. And then you try to put those pieces together. You've got one, after tonight, you've got one game in your next 6 days, and they have not had a lot of practice time. They haven't even had a shoot-around, Jason, before a game in these last three games, which they've all lost. You have to go back to Thanksgiving to find the last time they got a practice in because of some three games and four nights and then some odd start times with the afternoon game against Golden State. It was a late afternoon start in Charlotte. And so today was the first day they got back in the gym in a non-game situation. That does make a big difference. I mean, you can't completely change who you are, but you can tweak it, and you can cause, there's been slippage, obviously, defensively the last couple of games, and they desperately need to get back in the gym and kind of get things back on track. And again, just to sum it up, there's just something, I don't know how to describe it, just something, that okay, we don't have Karl available for us for the next, however long a period of time it is, and how do we put the pieces together to make us not only competitive, but to go out and win basketball games?
I mean, make no mistake, like, Karl Anthony Towns is a huge star and has made a huge impact, but we've had challenges trying to figure out how Rudy Gobert and Karl Anthony Towns, especially, as you said, on the defensive end. I mean, three-game losing streak, it seems like the Wolves are giving up 40 points in the first quarter. They gave up 142?
It's amazing. The last two first quarters have really set the tone, and that's been, this is not a team that comes from behind. They don't have the firepower from beyond the arc. And I think it's more than just Rudy and Kat. I think it's really the whole starting five that hasn't really come together. I think we saw some good strides during the five-game win streak. We saw some things kind of happen for longer periods of time, good things. That game at Indiana, I thought, was their best of the season. Chris Finch agreed with that. So it's not just with Kat and Rudy. It's D'Lo adjusting to working with Rudy Gobert. I talked to some people in Utah that said when Mike Conley came to Utah a few years ago, it took him almost a full season to figure out how best to play with Rudy and to maximize that pick and roll. So it's not something you just jump into after 20 games and expect these guys to be completely on the same page. And I think we're seeing some of that it's a struggle, not only for Rudy coming in, but for Kat, for D'Lo, for Ant. I mean, figuring out the way, and Jaden McDaniels too, really starting for the first time in his career. So it's a lot of guys sort of adjusting to a new environment, which is different than last year.
Memphis can be fun to watch. Ja Morant, of course, with the Grizzlies. What do you expect tonight to be keeping an eye on?
Well, we certainly know the Grizzlies, don't we? This will be the 12th meeting in the last since the start of last season after the 6-game playoff run. But that's what happens when you get to the postseason. You
right.
play teams night in, night out. So it makes it fun. I hope this crowd gets into it and has some fun tonight. Ja Morant's gotten to the free throw line 10 or more times in 5 straight games. That's got to end tonight. The Wolves have to defend without fouling. It's much easier said than done. But I'm interested to see how they respond here tonight. I think Ant is going to step up into more of a, you know, maybe have the offense run through him a little bit more. I think you're going to see the Wolves try to utilize Rudy a lot more in the pick and roll, spread things out a little bit. I think it's going to be really interesting to see how they play tonight. But Memphis is no joke, Jason. I mean, they're just,
right.
you know, we talk about the Wolves moving on without Karl Anthony Towns. Well, Memphis went through this last year with Ja Morant. He missed 25 games. Mm-hmm. They went 20-5.
Yeah.
They missed Jaren Jackson Jr. the whole first start of this season. In fact, they have not had their preferred starting lineup play a single minute together this year, and they're still 12-8, fourth best in the West. So that gives you an idea of how, you know, when you get a system that is in place, same kind of guys, same coach year after year, they just plug and play. The Wolves aren't at that stage yet, but Memphis is a great example of how you can keep winning
yeah.
even though you don't have one of your superstars.
Well, we hope that happens for the Wolves. A little bit of home cooking for a week or so. We got home game tonight, home Saturday against the Thunder, and then home again next Wednesday against the Pacers. We'll be listening. Alan, thank you.
Jason, you got it anytime.
Alan Horton, the radio voice of the Minnesota Timberwolves. A tip at 7, pregame at 6:30 right here on CCO. It's almost 5:30. We are back with more on the life of Christine McVie from Fleetwood Mac next on CCO.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
So there is a short clip of the Pink song that we are playing Name That Tune with right now. 651-461-9226 is our number if you want to play Name That Tune. This is for the Pink Summer Carnival 2023 show, Target Field, August 10th. It's a Thursday night with special guests Pat Benatar, Group Love, and Kid Cut Up. Here we go. Can you name that tune? Let's go to our first contestant on line one, Dave in Hastings. Dave, can you name that Pink song?
I think the name of the song is Try.
Dave, you nailed it. You nailed it. Congratulations. Well done.
Thank you.
Well done. Are you a Pink fan?
I am, yeah.
Legendary showman. She's known for acrobatics and the dancing and the whole bit. It's going to be amazing at Target Field, I think.
I hope so.
I hope so, too. Well, you have got 2 tickets to go see Pink as part of Summer Carnival. You can get tickets online as well. Target Field, the home of that concert. That'll be great. I asked Paul what the forecast is for August 10th, 2023. He said warm. So,
yeah.
That's real good.
That'll be
nice. Real good news. Dave, stay on the line. Dan will get your information, and we're excited for you. Have a great time. We'll do another Pink ticket giveaway Thursday and Friday. So 2 more chances for you to win tickets to see Pink at Target Field. Since we're talking music, we are going to talk about Christine McVie. Family sharing the news that she has died. 79 years old from Fleetwood Mac. We are going to get insight from John Lastman, the Johnny Rock legend. Helped launch the career of Bon Jovi when he discovered John Bon Jovi. We'll talk to Johnny Rock about Fleetwood Mac and Christine McVie next here on CCO. everywhere. Fleetwood Mac, we are remembering Christine McVie. Really an outpouring of love and support for her as news came out this afternoon from her family that she had died at the age of 79. We're joined on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline by Johnny Rock Lastman. Johnny, nice to have you with us here on CCO. You are the program director, the operations manager, and the morning guy at Rockin' 101 in St. Cloud. Longtime rock and roll DJ all over the country. It's good to have you with us.
Well, thank you for having me on, Jason. Let me say, I miss you a little bit on TV. Being a morning DJ, I'd see you at 4:30 after the national anthem with that cute little girl.
That's right. I followed the anthem. I followed a girl who's been, I think, 7 years old for the last 10 years.
And by the way, I had A.J. Hilton on yesterday morning. Seriously.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, he's a big fan of yours, too. So, yeah. It's a sad day. It really is. You know, a lot of the rock stars that will pass are a little before my time, but this one is right in my wheelhouse. I mean, Fleetwood Mac. Those of a certain age will know Fleetwood Mac. There was, at one time, not even close. There wasn't a bigger band on the planet. You know, Rumors sold 40 million copies. 40 million copies. And it was really sad to hear that today.
Yeah, I think you hit exactly on it, that there's an age range that she hits, and Fleetwood Mac for sure. But generations know these songs, and she is a, you know, you look at some of the members of Fleetwood Mac over the years, and you think, like, Stevie Nicks. Of course, Mick Fleetwood, Lindsey Buckingham, and then Christine McVie. And you think, like, these were powerhouse stars individually, but as a group, there was something special that happened.
That was one of the secret sauces of Fleetwood Mac. Everybody had their own personality and had their own style. And let us not forget, she was married to bass player John McVie and then got divorced. And they both stayed in the band and would tour for decades. I mean, can you imagine? I know people that can't do Thanksgiving with their ex.
Right.
Go on tour for 3 years. It's really something. I first saw her and the band on the Rumors tour at the old St. Paul Civic Center in like 77, 78. And even back as far as that, they were already looking a little haggard. There was a lot of infighting that's been talked about, a lot of chemical use that's been talked about. But she was always sort of, it felt like almost the mom of the group. She kept it together.
What do you think it was? When you look at the songs that she was a part of, and when you look at the kind of the biggest hits of Fleetwood Mac, I know the New York Times reported that, you know, the greatest hits anthology from 88, she wrote or co-wrote half of the 16 tracks on the greatest hits, which gives you a sense for, like, you know, she knew how to write a hit.
Yeah, she really did. And she would team up with Lindsey Buckingham, who's got to be just devastated. I just went and saw him 6 months ago at a casino here, and he was great. But, you know, they were really tight. And one thing about her, when Rumors was doing 40 million copies, and everyone else was either in rehab or disappearing into the Mojave Desert, she went and recorded, you know, the song Sentimental Lady with Bob Welch?
All
the backing. Yeah. She's the backing vocalist on that. And they were so huge. You know, that song wouldn't have been a hit without her on it. And she's barely on it. But that's how big she was. It's just sad, you know. I mean, look, truth be told, at 17, I was a Stevie Nicks guy.
Right.
But like I said, she was the mom of the band, and it's sad. It's really sad.
Johnny Rock Lastman, we appreciate you sharing some thoughts on Christine McVie, dead at 79. We don't know all the details yet, but certainly a sad moment. And the one side of this that is somewhat uplifting is sort of revisiting all these songs, which I think I'm sure she would love that people are getting joy out of that today. Thanks, Johnny. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you, sir.
All right. Johnny Rock Lastman, the morning man at Rockin' 101 in St. Cloud with some thoughts there. And you'll hear more about Christine McVie. Obviously, it's on the top of the hour news here at CCO. And Chad had said they're going to play her music all, I'm sure, all our shows. You'll hear lots of that tomorrow. It is interesting to me how there is music, and there are certain people, you know, that it just connects with people. And seeing the outpouring this afternoon for Christine McVie has been sort of, it's been pretty remarkable. And certainly if you're of an age where you don't, you're like, well, I don't know. Like, you know, people know Fleetwood Mac, and certainly a new generation because of when Bill Clinton ran for president, Don't Stop Thinking About Tomorrow became the theme song. Stevie Nicks posted on Twitter this afternoon this very beautiful handwritten note. A few hours ago, I was told my best friend in the whole world since the first day of 1975 had passed away. I didn't even know she was ill until late Saturday night. I wanted to be in London. I wanted to get to London. Since Saturday, one song has been swirling around in my head over and over. I thought I might possibly get to sing it to her, and so I'm singing it to her now. I always knew I would need these words one day. How about that? And so...
Yeah, I mean, you talk, you know, and Johnny talked about all the fractiousness that was in that band.
Right.
And yet it's still, you know, there's a bond that develops anytime you're in a musical group like that. There's something that happens when it comes to music, when it comes to art in general, that bonds people on a level that, you know, words sort of fail to be able to describe.
Right.
Which is why we need music to begin with, because right. Sometimes that words just don't do the job and music can step in and fill that gap. And for all of the stuff that went on with that band, you know, he talked about her and John McVie getting divorced. And then I think she went and wrote, that's when she wrote You Make Love and Fun, about the next guy that she was dating. Can you imagine if you're John McVie having to play You Make Love and Fun?
Right.
Written by his,
written
now,
by
ex-wife,
his now ex-wife.
About
yeah.
not you. I mean, it boggles the brain that they were able to do as much as they were, and they have been. But she was a huge part of it and just an iconic voice. I mean, as much as you think about how iconic Stevie Nicks' voice is,
right.
Christine McVie's every bit as much.
Yeah, there's something just like deeply soulful. And her songs are love songs. Like they're upbeat, poppy love songs. But there's a depth to her voice that makes it feel, I don't know, it's got a little extra oomph behind it.
Yeah. It's just, and of course there was it was a car commercial, right? That was used in everywhere recently, and you've seen it a bunch of times. I know you've seen it on TV.
Oh, yeah.
I'm pretty sure it was a car commercial of some sort, and, well, you wonder where that ad campaign can go now.
Right.
I mean, I don't know. Do you keep running it in honor
of her? It's a Chevy.
It's a Chevy campaign? I mean, do you keep running it?
Electric vehicle.
It?
I don't know. You know, she was part of the group of artists who sold their song catalogs.
Yeah.
I think it was last year. There was sort of a big movement going on, I think, you know, people are always looking for a different investment and buying song catalogs. You know, Dylan sold his, the Estate of Prince sold that catalog, and she sold her catalog as well. So who knows how much control her estate would even have over the use of it, right?
If you're Chevy, I mean, do you have
I think you keep running it.
Keep running it, or do you say, yeah, agency, we're not going to? Or?
You probably do a nice post. I would. I don't know.
Or
tribute to her.
Tack a couple of second thing on to the end of commercial saying thank you.
Yeah. Christine McVie, 79, good long life for sure, but surprise and sadness as we learned about her death. We've got Timberwolves basketball coming up here on CCO Radio. First, Henry Lake with a little pregame show, then the pregame. Henry has the pregame to the pregame.
He's live at Target Center.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.